the Daniel chapter 4. We're in lesson 31, and we didn't get through what we were sharing last week, but we're going to Daniel chapter 4, verse 31. Daniel chapter 4, verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and thou shalt drive for thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be in the beast of the field. Thou shalt make thee eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth in it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle feathers, and his nails like bird claws. You ever think about that? What do you think about seeing a king, and all of a sudden he's looking like that? That would be horrifying, wouldn't it? But you know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He turns into a beast. And in a tribulation period over here, men will worship the beast. And this is the picture of that time. Hold your finger there and go to Psalms chapter 49 and get 2 Peter chapter 2. Psalms 49, 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to continue that, why he looks like a beast and what this beast thing is going to be. Psalms chapter 49, verse 6. Psalms chapter 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitudes of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. You see this? You can be rich and they're glorying in this, right? Verse 10. For he seeth the wise man die. Likewise, the fool and the brutus person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thoughts is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, men being in honor obeyed not, he is like the what? The beast that perish. So he says, if you're a man like that, you're a beast. So you see that picture. So here's Nebuchadnezzar, right? Wants to continue his kingdom. Look what I did. Look what I did. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. What do you know about Peter? The book of Peter.
Ages to come.
It's ages to come. Is it written to us?
No.
It's written for us. We can understand some things. And Peter sit out here in the Hebrews epistles, were Hebrews through Revelations. But the book of Peter, 2 Peter, is written as doctrine for people who are going to live through this times of Jacob trouble right here. And Peter warns a class of people who are literally beast. Verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuously are they self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these are national brute what? Beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of these things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish into their own corruption. They're natural brute what? Beast. And they're fit for nothing but what? Destructions. See this? So this class of people are just beasts. That's all they are. So they're evil people. Okay? Verse 13. And shall the reward, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots that are blemished, but spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you. Notice the reference in verse 15 to Balaam, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, fallen the way of who? Balaam, the son of who? Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Go to Jude, right before Revelation. Peter's describing a group of class of people over here that are beasts. Nebuchadnezzar is a beast, yeah, about what's happening over there. The book of Jude, you reference Sodom and Gomorrah, precedes the passages as you read, as you read in verse 6 and 7. But Jude 8 says this: likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. That's what you just read in 2 Peter, right? Okay, verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally are brute beasts, and these, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gangslaying of Kor. All this is just like Revelation chapter 2. If you want to turn there, you can. I'll read it to you anyway. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Revelation chapter 2, verse... Stay in Jude, because we're going right back to Jude, okay? Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and commit fornication. And verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat sacrifices to idols. See, that's just what's going on over here in ages to come. Jude verse 12. These are the spots in the feast of charity, when the feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit, what? Withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up the root. What did we read about trees the other day? If they don't produce fruit, what? Cut them down. They're not, these trees are not producing anything. Raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved in blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh of Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which are they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches of ungodly sinners has spoken against them. Now this is the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he's going to send those saints back. But you get the idea about what kind of bunch of people there, right? Bunch of no good, evil beasts, rascals. This is just one man gone mad, Nebuchadnezzar, and his madness is self-will. And that willful king leads that nation in mad destructions. That's what he's going to do. He's gone mad with what he's doing. You'll see Nebuchadnezzar, go back to Daniel chapter 4. You'll see Nebuchadnezzar, and you see it going on in the world today. You know, many of you are shaking your head like, wow, that's a picture of what's going on today. Why? Because we're in the times of the Gentiles. Okay? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when you throw God out, God's going to give you exactly what you deserve, nation-wise, government-wise. And I watched this over and over and over, and you have too, from the time, you know, when you was a child. Let me move on a little bit. Go back to chapter 4. I got to hold that thought. Notice Nebuchadnezzar restored into his kingdom, Daniel chapter 4. But what I was going to say is this. I was listening to a program that comes on very early in the morning. And the guy, well, how did he put this? He said that must have been he went to school. How many went to school in, say, in Ohio up north? Okay. Do you remember a time in school that you said a Pledge of Allegiance? Did you say a prayer?
Yeah.
Did you read a Bible verse?
Yeah.
Okay. See, and we did that down home, down south, all the time. Then it took away, they said, okay, they quit reading the Bible, but they gave you a minute of silence, about a minute of silence to pray, whatever you want to do. And then next thing you know, they took it away. I don't even know if they do Pledge of Allegiance anymore.
Yeah,
or not.
My wife says she does it.
Okay, all right, okay. And then, but what I'm getting at is, see how this is going in effect and the government's going in and saying you can't do this, you can't do that, and taking away some things. And when you do that, the insanity in the last days over here, they're going to be a spiritual people turning into beasts. And I don't know if you can look at a man in politics or even behind a pulpit and look at him as a beast. But you might think he is a beast and his conduct. And that's what I'm saying is that what was described here, what we read, is exactly what's going on today.
Amen.
You know, and the evilness in people. And that's why it's a heart issue. And I've run to people, oh, you can't judge that guy. You can't do this. You know what? You can't judge his soul. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's dealings when he takes us out here and over here. God could judge your soul. But what can you judge in a person?
Actions.
If you know this person's over here doing evil things, guess what? You stay away from them. You know what I mean? My Bible tells me not to eat with them. That's hard if you got a brother or sister you love so much that you can, you know, and they're doing some things and you like, my Bible says you can't eat. And you're going down to Thanksgiving dinner. You know? And I've learned a long time ago, yeah, I'm going for the mother-in-laws and moms and stuff like that, but I'm not going to sit over here with them. And that's hard, because what are you going to talk about? You're going to end up talking politics. You know, you're going to football, but don't bring up God. Don't bring up Jesus Christ.
Can't bring up politics.
Anything.
Somebody's going to fight you.
But chapter 4, you notice Nebuchadnezzar is restored into the kingdom. Verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I bless the Most High, I praised and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to what?
Generation.
Now the end of those days means seven times the 7 years. So he's referring to that seventh year over there. So there's hope for that nation over there. With me? Now God's not a respecter of people today. God's not forming a nation. He's forming a body. But you got to remember, you knock God out of some things, he's going to give you exactly what you want. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? When Nebuchadnezzar humbled himself, God restored him. And he found the restored and his right and his mind. See, that's the battlefield, guys. As young as we got young kids in here, the battle is always going to be right here in your mind, in between your two ears, at 8 pounds of gray mass. The spirit, the soul, the body. Your spirit is how you talk to God. And it restored, he got his mind back. And if you go back to the end of verse 26, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar comes to know the Most High God ruleth in the kingdoms of men. He understood that. But he forgot about it, didn't he? Look at me. Remember what he said? Look what I built. Look what I want to do. And he comes to know that heavens do rule. He's not saying that God's the boss. Yeah. Lip service. He know it in his heart. And he's saying that heavens run things. Look at verse 13, book Daniel. Remember, look at this again. Verse 13, I saw the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven, and Nebuchadnezzar understood the holy ones to be who?
Angels,
yeah. And verse 8, Nebuchadnezzar talks about the spirit of the holy gods. Now we looked at some things about gods before, and they are who?
Angels.
Yeah, angels. There you go. And verse 17, this matter is by decree of the watchers and the demand of by the word of the holy ones. So in verse 23, he talks again about the watcher and the holy one coming down from heaven. And there is a decree that these angels brought down, which results in what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. So they came down to tell him what's going to go on. And the watcher and the holy one is a reference of the administration of the affairs of the universe. God Almighty has a government over the universe. With me? We talked about the legislative, judicial, executive branch. And I believe that's out there in the heavens. Same as here on earth. And it's not just over the earth. It's over the whole universe. And God has set up the heaven and earth in order in Genesis chapter 1. And he puts a station, a rank, and authority in the government exercised to carry on business in the universe. There's business being conducted out there in the universe that's probably we can't even think about. Fathom what's going on out there. But if the earth is supposed to be a mirror of the heaven without corruption, but there is corruption in the heavens, so what's going to happen on the earth?
Corruption.
Listen, there's three heavens. There's the blue sky one, where the stars are two, and where God sits three. Paul says, I went to the third heaven. In the body and out of body, I cannot tell. That man went up there and looking at himself, wait a minute, I can't be up here. I look like, you know, but he was in the what? Spirit. Okay? And he didn't need a space suit, did he? But look, there's governments out there, and it was not left orderless or governorless to run itself. It's still out there. He sets up laws and governments, and they're in place, guys. And these created beings, the angelic creatures, are called the holy ones. And notice that they're also called watchers. And not the watchman on the wall type thing, you know. But look, and there is a special class of these beings who have a function of going about the earth and seeing what goes on. And they carry the report back to the throne of God. Now, you're not going to see these people. But I believe they're around. I think when the holy angels of God today up there, they're looking over the rim of the universe and looking down at this earth, and they're probably wanting to send us down. You know, let's stop this madness down there. You know, and they're looking, but they're learning from you and I. That's the beauty about the body of Christ. That once you walk, you and I don't walk worthy of our vocation all the time. But did my wife be happy-go-lucky every day of the week around me? I'm just saying that. But look, we all get in the flesh. But how you deal with some things shows those angels that's what grace is about. They never experience a dispensation of grace. You guys know that? You and I living in a dispensation of grace experience some things while God ain't pouring wrath out. You know, you ever thought about that? Why has he not split this earth in half and said you either on my side or that side? You with me?
It's too bad we can't trade places, huh?
Well, the thing is, but the beauty about grace. See, that's why it's grace and peace. Everything that Paul speaks, starts his epistles out, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Every one of Paul's epistles. Because God is with grace and peace today. He's not wrath and judgment. And this special class of people got a function that's going on in the earth and see what goes on. And they carry it back to the throne of God. And there's a place in this universe where God's court of judgment, justice, meets regular basis. They meet there. Go to get Job 1 and get Isaiah 14. So if you picture this universe going on out there, this government, and your government on the earth, who's the God of the world?
I'll get you.
Okay, Isaiah. And get 1 Kings 22 while you're there. Put something in 1 Kings. Isaiah 14, verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. This talks about Satan's plot and plan, okay? The stars of God are consistent with reference to angels that we're talking about. And the mount of congregation is the place where God's government meet. So you got God's throne, and you got a place where he meets. Okay? And then you got his authority and conduct. So that place where they meet, I'm trying to think, okay, judicial, executive. Where does the government meet on earth? In Congress. Right? And then you got the White House, the executive branch. Then you got a judicial branch where these people come, they're going to be judged. But look, I said Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Notice he's not called Lucifer. So he's already fallen, hadn't he? And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro to the earth and walking up and down in it. And again, chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present themselves to the Lord. So they're going up or where God is doing conducting business. And you see the sons of God came and present themselves before God at the time, and that place is giving an account of their activities. What's going on down there? What's going on out there? And they're coming and giving an account. Many of you probably run businesses. Many of you probably been a part of business. You've been part of management stuff. You have conference calls. My boss have a conference call every morning. It seems like 10 o'clock. There's no use calling. It's going to ring busy. Because they're on a conference call conducting business, what's going on, what's went on that day, that morning, and what they present, going to conduct themselves the rest of the day. So that's nothing foreign. It's right out of the books of the Bible. And you see a little glimpse of the activity in 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22.
first?
1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19. You there? Can I get a witness?
Yes.
1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19. And he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord," that's big L, that's Jehovah, "sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven sitting by him on his right hand and on his what? Left. And the Lord said," what's he doing there? He's got he's got businesses going on there. Okay? He's got, I don't want to say a congregation, but I guess you could call it a congregation of people. "And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?" Thank you. And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. So they're talking to him, right? They're saying, okay, we're going to do this. How about this? How about that? So he's in conference. And there set forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, "I will persuade him." It goes on down through the passage and describes how it's going to happen. And this is a courtroom scene whereby it is decided to what's going on to happen in the earth. And there's one who is set forth in the court down to the earth to execute God's purpose. Now, what happens down here happens according to God, government, authority. Who's in control? We always say it all the time, God's in control. And you look out there like, it don't look like God's in control. You ever know? God help us. It's not in control. And his control, his rules, his decision making. The Most High in the kingdom of men as well as the kingdom of heavens, God is in control. He's just given the people what they want. And the book of Daniel is full of this stuff. And the reason that Daniel is a prophetic import, is full of it, is because of the tribulation period over here that's going to be the issue. Not the grace. This is hidden. This is not made known. Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and all them, that group, did not know about the dispensation of grace. Okay? So that's the way it looks. The Bible, where we're talking about. So Daniel's full of that over here, what's going to happen over there. And Jesus Christ is going to come back from down into the heavens and take the government of the heavens. You with me? I'll go down. I'll take care of it. That's what that's all about. He's going to cast Satan out and down to earth in Revelation chapter 12. And the Lord God, Jesus Christ, is going to follow him to earth. See, when he takes, I believe this, when the Antichrist is in the mid-trib, there's 144,000 male preachers of Israel at the first of this, preaching against that man. They're preaching the kingdom gospel. They get called out of here mid-trib. The heavens are opened up. That Antichrist is going to be able to see God up there, Jesus Christ, ready to come down with fire and vengeance. And that's when the heavens are rolled up, scrolls and dumped out and all that stuff. And the heaven, because the heavens are not clean right now, Job says. There's nothing up there clean. Except where God is, the throne room of God. It don't have sin in it. But he throws Satan out. But you imagine that up there still going on, and he casts them out and he follows them down here to take the earth away. See, he's taking the heavens away, and he's going to come out of the throne room of God, and he's going to cleanse the heavens up there, and it's going to be like roll like a scroll, like I said, and it's going to be like shaking those bad apples out of that tree. And they're going to fall to earth. And then that's when we're taken out of here and catching away the rapture up here, and we're judged and put in those places up there. So how long is that going to take? Who knows? But the idea from this point is going to be the earth. Okay? And then The issue between God and Satan today is authority. Listen, if Satan can convince a government to follow him, you think he's going to not do that? Mm-hmm. Look at Nebuchadnezzar, what we're talking about. Look at all the Israel. Israel was, there was none greater in all the world than Israel. There wasn't a nation on this earth that did not know who God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was. Why? Because who Israel stood for God. And what did they do? They start whoring around with other religions. That's what the fornication is about. And you can commit spiritual fornication today by whoring around with other religions out there. Denomination, I don't care what you call it. That's why you better be faithful to true with the Word of God, rightly divided, and dispensational truth, and quit messing with that stuff over there. It's all it's going to do is bring you down and make your mind upset, and you're going to get frustrated. That's not what God wants you to do. And the issues from Genesis chapter 1 all the way over Revelation 22 is authority over a throne over the universe. We said this over and over. That's the main thing of your Bible. It's about authority. We get caught up on all kinds of stuff, little stories and, you know, that type of thing. That's fine. But you can't forget that the authority, what this is serious business, guys. What God is doing through you and I and what Satan's trying to do through you and I. What Satan was doing through you and I before we were saved. And the conflict, and it's always been the issue, and it's the issue today. And the conflict between God and the adversary devil is over who is going to occupy the positions of authority. And that's why man hates the authority of the Word of God. You ever notice that? They throw it away. You know, they don't want that authority. That's why men hate God's authority because they had the wrong father they're following. And that's why I watch these people. Sometimes our men, I'm going to pick on you for a little bit, don't have the backbone to stand up in their homes or in their churches. So guess what? Some woman comes along and says, and they promote women in this position. Listen, the Bible says, if a man desires the office of a bishop and a husband of one wife, okay? If you're a woman up here as a bishop, how can you be a husband of one wife? So they change all that stuff. You can find a Bible version for anything you want to believe out there. And what has to happen, the man sit back, I don't want to do that. Because they might have sin in their life or something, and they might not feel worthy. Well, get in the book and get it cleaned up. Well, we talked about that before. We talked about how do you get sin out of your life? You do what's right. And it takes some time to work through that, and it can. But look, that's why man hates that. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia... Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. That's in the heavens. And he hasn't gotten to earth yet. Who is Michael? He's an angel, ain't he? There's only very few angels that mentioned, archangels and stuff mentioned by name. You know who they are?
Gabriel.
Okay, for your help.
And who else?
Michael.
You said Gabriel, Michael, who else? Lucifer. Okay, they're archangels. Okay, they're in power. They're in positions. You won't find your name in there. You're not an angel. You're not an archangel. You're a saint of the Most High God. But he is an archangel. And the prince of Persia is an angel. And go down to verse 20 in Daniel chapter 10. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I go gone forth, the prince of Greece shall come. Satan has delegated princes for each nation on the earth to superintend his work down here. Listen.
They're called channels, right?
Channels, if you want, that's, you know, superstitious talk, but channeling, but that type of thing. But think about this. And I've said this 100,000 times, and I believe it with all my heart. Satan is a god of this world. And he's got strongholds in this earth, okay? In these nations. And when God told Joshua to go into the promised land, this is what you do. Okay? And there was over 10 nations in there. Jezetites, Jerzetites, Amorites, all those ites. And if you study them out, that's the strongholds of Satan. And 6 of them apparently was some really bad people, some bad dudes. And Joshua goes in there and starts wiping them out. Then he gets like, okay, some of them start taking stuff from them, right? And it caused problems. It's caused problems today. And I'm a firm believer in this. You may not like what I'm about to say, but if you're going to war, you go war with that nation. And if you're part of that nation, you're my enemy. That's what they did to Germany. The whole nation was, you know what I mean? And then they started like, well, we got good guys and bad guys. Well, Joshua walked in there, and that's exactly what he did. Well, we're going to keep these women over here. We're going to keep this cattle. God said, destroy them all. And that's what he's going to do it, Lord God Almighty. But in your mind right now, if you think about it, God Almighty doesn't get worried about this because God Almighty is the one that ruleth. And Nebuchadnezzar learned that the Most High ruleth and gives his rulership to whomever he desires. But, you know, I can't help thinking, and I asked you about the prayer in your schools and things. It seemed like we was more influenced by God the Creator in the past. You know? And now it's just like, who's God?
Yeah.
You know? And I get frustrated when I hear these. I listen to a trucking channel, and then one of the questions they asked, like, would you like to be a teacher? Be a teacher. And the truckers were calling in, and it was complaining about the teachers today. And they was complaining what you're being taught in school. And you're complaining that your hands are tied. I'm like, that's not the question. The answers. If you want to go that, who do you blame for that happening? Us. We allowed that, same as we allowed women to be pastors. We just got weak. We just didn't want the responsibility. Hey, it's easy to sit back there with your hands on your, sitting on your hands. It's easy. It's easy to just not study. It's easy not get in a battle. Because that's what it is. It's a battle out there. And I blame that. I blame me. Now, I'm at the age that my youngest child is 25. Okay. I've got grandchildren now. And all I can do is bestow, every time I see them, good stuff to them. And one of them's blowing up. One of them's having meltdowns. And, you know, you talk to mom and dad, and they're like, well, the doctor says this, and the doctor says that. And, you know, I love them to death. They're both behavior analysts, specialists, degrees, dealing with different children. And I told her today, I said, you cannot treat your child as a student. You with me? You have to treat your child as a parent. It's going to be love. It's going to be discipline. I sent her verses about you spare the rod. That type of thing. There's nothing wrong with disciplining your children.
Right.
You know, that's love. But you can't treat them like you're a student. I used to get on my kids and my wife. You know, they treated their mom sometime like a friend. Buddy O'Pal. You know what the only difference that is? When that buddy O'Pal has to discipline you, it's like, oh, come on, friend. You know I was just kidding. No. The rod came out. the discipline part. But anyway, getting back to that, that's not what I want to go with that. But the thing is, who's ruling today? Does it seem like the United States government, I don't want to get too political, but does it seem like God is ruling in times past? How about the last administration, administration before that, administration before that, administration before that? Does it seem like God is ruling in the hearts of men there? No. It's heartbreaking. It really is. And there's something to learn in Daniel chapter 4, and Nebuchadnezzar learned it and made that proclamation. And God's business is to run the world. And it's God's business to run the universe. But who's the God of this world? I can't keep saying that enough. Who's the prince of power of the air? Satan. He's running things. And men, as men turn from the word of God, and men reject the word of God, God Almighty delivers them to the government of Bible rejecting, Christ denying, religious hypocrites and blasphemers. That's what's happening there. And then when you think you got somebody in there, and he's trying to change some things, he looks like he's the evil one. Listen, you know enough truth in your soul that when you go up against a religious system, what are they going to do with you? Oh, come on in here, brothers and sisters. Sit down here. We're going to have a good time. No. They give you the right foot of fellowship, and they close the blinds on you and change the locks on the door. That's what they do. So is that good? What does that make you look like?
It's good for you. Good.
You know, it's just like, am I doing the right thing? What if I am doing the right thing? You know, it was so much easier over here.
Mm-hmm. That's about in you.
That's right. And you don't need Satan to do that. You yourself can do that. And God will, and this is what happened to Israel over and over and over again. And it's the way God runs the universe. And God Almighty gives the power of the universe into the hands of Lucifer. And when he sought to usurp the position of God Almighty, what did God do? Satan was in control of some things. He was the head cherubim, the fifth one. And he's above, look at me, directing worship service. So he had authority that God gave him. What happened to him?
He kicked him out.
God cast him out. And those who desire to go with him, God also cast them out under rulership, didn't he? 1/3 of the angelic beings that followed Satan. 1/3.
That's crazy.
And you don't think he can convince a lost man to follow him? A lost man's already followed him. How about a saved person go back and do some things like deny him? Or, you know, it ain't worth it no more. You know, I'm just going to give up. I've saw preachers, friends do that time and time again. Over and over and over. It's just like, just stand. And when men desire to be turning, we're going to close on Romans chapter 1. Maybe. But when man desires to throw God's word out, it's like Romans chapter 1. And they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. And God gives them up to the worst judgment possible. You know what he does? If I'm going to give you the worst judgment possible in God's eyes, you know what that is? That's it. Say it, Leon.
Turn you over to yourself.
You turn it over to yourself. That's the worst. What? Me? And he leads you to do to themselves. If you and I or anybody else or any nation rejects God's word, God will set up a government over them and they will give them what they want. And that's what's happening. Whether it's local, whether it's national, whether it's international. These people out there are taking you for a ride and they're convinced and we're just sitting back. Listen, I know my mom and people her age. They always thought the government had their best interests in them. The Roosevelt days, setting up work programs, giving out food stamps. And they have said, they have my best interests. When the man should have been out there trying to work and eat, right? If you don't work, you don't eat. You know that, don't you?
Amen.
You know, first Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Look what God does. Romans chapter 1. I'm trying to get through chapter 4. But all this stuff comes up when you need it to know. It's, isn't that amazing? But hey, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what? So the wrath of God's already been revealed. You trust that, you're going to die and go to hell. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of God, of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power of God, of the Godhead. So there are what? You know what that verse tells you? There are no such thing as atheists. The witnessing of creation, this witness shows the invisible things of God, and you're without excuse. Because that, what? They're without excuse. He's already showed it to them. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? So, here comes the imagination part. And they knew God. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became... That's your professors right there. They're professing themselves to be wise. In God's word, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man, and to the birds, and to a four-footed beast, and creeping things. You know what they did? They took a man, corrupt. Then they went what? Four-legged beast, like Nebuchadnezzar. And then they what? A bird. And then finally, old bug. That's how they look at God today. They just, I'll stomp you out. And wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to desire their own bodies between themselves. He's giving them what they want, guys. You chose that. God never violates our free will, does He? He says, that's what you want? Who changed the truth of God into a what? Lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed and forever. Amen. For this cause, what cause? What cause are we talking about?
Choosing to worship the creature over the Creator.
Or change the truth of God into a lie. The truth of God, His Word, the truth of God, and change it into a lie. You see anybody doing that? You twist the Scriptures, they say. They won't talk to me no more because they said, no, it's always been here. For this cause God gave them up unto vain affections, for even their woman did change the natural use of unto them that which is against nature. And likewise also man leaving the natural use of a woman, burning their lust of one towards another, men with men working, which is... it's unseemly, and receiving himself the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, they was doing those things, and they still had them in His knowledge. Then they didn't want them in His knowledge, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, whose knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things were worthy of death, not only do the same, but what? As pleasure, they enjoy it. And they people out there, that's why I think about these people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're involved in these governments, stuff like that. And you're watching them, they go, they don't know what they're... You hope they didn't know what they're doing. And they seem like they're under spell. And they're saying things that's not true. You know, and I'm like... But they have pleasures in them. And these rules and regulations and principles are the law of gravity. And they are the operation and you can't change them.
I'm saying, want to name names right now.
I've got,
Nancy and Chuck.
Oh my.
But look, let's move on a little bit. I've got two more passages. Ezekiel 14. And get 2 Thessalonians. And it's just vicious. Look what happened to Israel in Ezekiel chapter 14. Here's you, Ezekiel, Mark. Ezekiel 14. Look what happens to Israel. Verse 1. Then came certain the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquities before their face. They're not ashamed, are they? They put in their heart and in their face. Should I inquire of them all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitudes of his idols, that I will may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all what? Estranged from me through their what? Idols. Where did he take the house of Israel? But he took them in their own heart. That's where he took them. So that's the issue. So these people out there in their heart, listen, if you keep rejecting this gospel and keep rejecting, it builds a callus over the heart. And you can harden your heart to where you hate somebody. And I see that happening out there. You know what I mean? I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be the president of the United States. Listen, I was president of the school board. I was on the school board for 6 years. Two of them was president. And they thought, and you might as well thought I was an antichrist in some situation. And it was hard. It was worrisome. And it was volunteer. I volunteered. I didn't get paid for it. The heart condition of those people determined what they got from God. Okay? And that is the true nations of the true men. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to get ready to close. I don't get to see you guys but once a week. So I know you probably wish it was... That's time, just joking. This is what Paul says. I'm just joking with you. This is what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned and believe not the truth, but have pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. Well, after we're taken out of here, God's going to send a strong delusion to them that did not believe the truth. And they're going to believe a lie. That's why I think when we're taken out of here, somebody might think, where'd Tom go? Anybody know where you're gone? Oh, he just died. He just withered away. Paul says that God will send a strong delusion in the tribulation that they might believe a lie, the Antichrist, because they received not the love of the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They wanted it. You with me? They wanted it. And God gave it to them. You want the truth? I like that. You can't handle the truth. That type of thing. A lot of people can't. They don't want it. You want the truth, you get in the book. And God will give it to you. And if you want to be proved that you're all right and everybody else is wrong, what do you got to do? Get in a book and God will let you know what the truth is. You know, you don't have to go around there being a Bible thumper and hitting people over the head. Look what I've got. You just give them the truth. The Bible is dangerous, guys. It's dangerous. And it would give you the desires of your heart. And if you don't fix your heart on the Lord, you're going to have problems, aren't you? That's why I always said it's always been a heart issue. Is if Israel's heart was right, they wouldn't have been in a situation. If people's heart's right today, you won't get in a situation. You can have all the head knowledge of the Bible you want to, but if your heart's not right, that's why I said before, I can't judge your heart. I can't judge your... That's God's doing. And any nation that kicks God and the book out and rejects the Bible by throwing the book aside and only gives lip service to God, then God's going to set up a nation and a government over them. And this is and just what they're asking for. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar learned when he said, the Most High. And God gave it back to him. We'll pick up verse 36 next week. Father, once again, thank you for the time. Thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.